The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, dementia is a sad reality in many households. And while we talk about the impact it can have on adult children, we rarely speak about the grandchildren. I caught up with Amy Owens. Her father has dementia and Alzheimer's. And she's been thinking about the impact that Alzheimer's has on grandchildren. And I started by asking Amy if she can tell us a little bit about what got her thinking about this element of the condition.
Yeah, I suppose I am a teacher, primary school, so I've been teaching about 18 years at this stage over it even. Yeah, I've read so many stories, you know, to children, things like that. And they tend to, I suppose, you know, they tend to really relate to stories and stories that, you know, they have some relationship to. So I suppose I just kind of feel that I'd love more resources out there for children to kind of help process if it's a thing, there is something going on at home like this, you know, that maybe their grandparent is having problems with memory, having issues, you know, that maybe there's some sort of little story to help guide them through. And also, I suppose, help parents, you know, guide them through, like, you know, so yeah, I've written.
It's about managing the relationship, isn't it? Because the relationship is changing between the grandparent and the grandchild. What's your own experience of that in your family?
So I suppose my dad was diagnosed with vascular dementia and Alzheimer's about 4 years ago now, Claire. And it just kind of happened bit by bit, you know, and we saw sort of day by day bits being lost from him, I suppose, memory issues, things like that. And my sister's a nurse, so she was kind of on it straight away. And yeah, it took a while, but we got him a diagnosis, you know. But we have grandchildren in the house, and you know, that relationship is just it's so important to Mum and Dad. Mum is his full-time carer, so she's in her like mid-70s, and she is absolutely fantastic. She's so kind and empathetic, but she still tries to, you know, get the grandchildren involved. And to be fair to them, they go from 8 to 18, and they're all just so kind to Dad, so compassionate. But it really got me thinking, you know, the younger kids, maybe 3 to 8, 9, you know, how do they see the granddad or the grandmother? You know, what's happening in their mind? You know, so I think, well, I started to write this book sort of based on his grandson, Jack, actually, who's my godson. And it's about how him and his grandfather go looking for the grandfather's name. It's called "Where Is Your Name, Granddad?" So the granddad can't remember his name. And, you know, there are days that, you know, Dad, you know, he may not remember his name. He doesn't even sometimes maybe know us, you know, at times.
And do you find that the children or the grandchildren at times find it easier to relate to your dad or to the person who has Alzheimer's than the adult?
100%. Like, you would see their daddy, he tends to regress to that kind of nearly childlike state, you know. I heard that phrase lately. Once an adult, twice a child. But it's true, you know, and that relationship, the child can kind of, they can nearly give cues to the granddad. Like, that's what I tried to do in the book. You know, they go around Ireland searching for the granddad's name, but bit by bit, you know, the child kind of gives the granddad little sort of ideas and things like that. And the granddad starts to remember, you know, like, Daddy was great for stories. He worked abroad for years, and he could tell you a story about every country in Europe and just every road in England, and he would have a little story about it. Now, you know, like, you would have to nearly give him half the story. Sometimes it might come back if he's lucid that day, you know, but sometimes it won't. And that's the thing, you know, if it's a day like that, I've seen even his youngest grandchild, you know, she'll just sit around, she'll just play with him, very relaxed. You know, with adults, we tend to, you know, even like our conversation here, Claire, we're going and we're coming and all the rest. And they find that, well, I can only speak for our experience, but they find those nuances very difficult in conversation. You know, like daddy would find that very difficult to follow.
So it's more relaxed for him to have a moment with a child than it might be to have that with an adult.
Yeah, that's what I've seen anyway in our family, you know. And just even the way kids, they tend to speak slowly and clearly and calmly. And, you know, that's what I tried to do in the book as well. Like, you know, the kind of lower order questioning and things like that. What, where, who, that kind of thing that would relate to kids and dad, you know, and people with Alzheimer's rather than the higher order thinking, you know.
The relationship between grandparents and grandchildren, it's often, more recently, it's more pertinent because the grandparents have a greater role in grandchildren's lives, you know, when it comes to childcare, bringing them to school, collecting them from school. You probably see that in your own profession, right?
Massively. I mean, I could, you know, I notice so many grandparents dropping off children, collecting children. And then as well, you know, it's so funny, the stories that kids tell you, but it tends to be about grandparents, you know. So like, you know, there's often, you know, it used to be, oh, with the news on a Monday morning, like when we were in school.
Yeah.
But now it's news every day. So, you know, it's really important to nurture that and listen to kids, you know, when they want to tell you their stories. Like, I mean, that's informal learning and we're all just learning off each other anyway. So, but they will tell you, you know, oh, Nanny's making me apple tart this evening. And that's what they look forward to, you know. But that relationship, it's really important.
So you've written the book. It's not published yet, but you got in touch with us to tell us about what you have seen in your own life experience and that you see that there's a gap here and a need to manage this relationship when dementia or Alzheimer's enters the picture.
Just to demystify Alzheimer's for parents and for children, you know, and maybe how to, you know, how to cope with that kind of authentically. Like, kids are naturally curious. They're naturally playful. They engage with stories so much. Like, you know, in my mind, I would love some lovely illustrations as well, colours, things like that. And I've been speaking to a few people about that. But definitely with dad, like, you know, the more animated you are, like I even see that with his youngest grandchild, you know, he enjoys that fun, you know, and he enjoys that camaraderie. You know, it gives a bit of lightness, levity to the whole situation. And like, we have to do that, Claire, like, even with him, you know, music is so important. And I noticed that there is another, you know, a striking resemblance with kids as well. They love music, music therapy, you know. And daddy, like, we all play a bit of music and sing. And as soon as we start singing, he will relax and he will calm. And again, you know, he loves to see that with the kids when they start playing or even just start humming or something. It tends to relax him. So just that relationship is hugely beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Like, so from your experience, you're saying that really we need to capitalize on that special relationship between the grandparent and the grandchild as part of the holistic treatment, if you like.
Yeah, with the grandparents, you know, and with the person dealing with dementia. Like, I mean, kids will help the grandparent on, you know, on their day, on their little journey. Like, it, look, it's a tough situation for every family, but, you know, I think we talk about it more now, and I think it needs to be talked about, you know. And sometimes, even us as teachers, you know, we tend to gloss over the nasty things, you know. But for kids, they like when we talk. It makes them feel safe and seen, you know, rather than them. Look, some kids mightn't be anxious at all about you know yourself, Claire. Some kids are just naturally, you know, they're calmer maybe. And other kids, they are a little bit more anxious. And I see that in school every day. Like, everyone's different, just like all of us, you know. So to see them, to talk about whatever's going on at home, to remind the children, I I think that the grandparent is very much still present. You know, there's a mindfulness there with Daddy now. He's still there, you know what I mean? And he's in the moment because that's all he has. You know, that's, he doesn't really have the past. He's confused about the future. So, but he's here
he's
now.
He's living in the now.
Yeah. And I think that is a lesson we can all take, you know? And I really essentially think that once the child knows that the grandparent is still capable of loving them, but is also deserving of their love. You know, and just that quote, I don't know if you know the book, The Velveteen Rabbit.
Yes.
I love it. And just about, it's about by the time you are real, you know, all your hair has been loved off and you're shaggy and loose in the face. And that's to paraphrase. But you can't be ugly. You know, you can't be ugly except people who don't understand.
Well, that's Amy Owens, who's an author and a teacher. And I'm joined on this topic by Sue Eggersdorf, who's co-founder of the Ready Generations charity, whose organisation focuses on building a connection between generations and encouraging the mixing between children and older people. You're welcome to the show, Sue.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So you have already seen and engaged with this connection between children and the older generations, and you're building communities around it. Is that right?
Yes, in our small way. We're a small charity, but our aim is to create spaces where people of all ages can come and have conversations. So not fixed things, but very open-ended things where all generations can come and bring all the family and just have a good time.
Why do you think it is that young children and elderly people with dementia, why they connect so well with each other?
Well, for our biggest project is running a day nursery in a care village. So we have 25 children every day living alongside 70 people, many of whom are living with dementias of different types. So that's in Belong Care Village in Chester. And we've been doing that for 5 years and researching that very closely. We call our older people our grand friends, and they're all ages from early 60s right the way through to 104. And our children are from age 10 months right the way through to school age, so rising five. Mm-hmm. And what we found over the last few years is they just naturally gravitate towards each other. They offer each other true friendship that doesn't see age or vulnerability in any way. So our little children just don't see age as a barrier at all, and help our older people to become, well, to really re-engage with things like play and playfulness, which really helps people when they're perhaps on a dementia journey.
And people, when people get a dementia diagnosis, are they quite pessimistic about what their life is going to look like from that moment on?
I think it's a really challenging time for everyone, and it's a very difficult diagnosis to deal with. And I think clinicians have to be very honest about what the future might hold. So sometimes people feel very down when they get that diagnosis. But what we've found is there's still a wonderful life to live. And living it alongside a community is really important. So many people feel they need to isolate themselves because they might have a sense of feeling a little bit embarrassed or feeling that they're not able to deal with a social situation in the way that perhaps they had done before. But children are natural connectors of people. They don't see that at all. And they take everyone at face value. So they are great people, little people, for encouraging people living with dementia to engage and to take part in things. And what we found, and I've found throughout my career working with young children particularly, is what older people or adults will do for children, they sometimes won't do for themselves. So our little children will ask an older person to perhaps go for a walk with them. And the older person might think, you know, I don't really want to do that, but I'll do it because the child wants me to. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of the work that we do, is our children become little accelerators of action, you know, because what you will do for a child, you perhaps won't do for yourself.
Yeah, but what you're doing is I suppose the way things used to be, you know, where you had a community and everybody was mixing. Whereas when we see care patterns now in an official sense, people are very segregated, aren't they? The generations are generally very segregated, both in real life and in those care settings.
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting, and I find this fascinating, is I was brought up in a Lancashire mill town, and we lived on our street. You knew everybody, everybody's doors were open, you know, and I'm not naive in romanticising that, but that was how we lived. And I think we've lost that somehow, and some people call that progress. I'm not so sure. But when people talk about the work that we're doing, they say, oh, it's so innovative, it's so new. And I say, it's just as old as the hills. It's actually based, even if we go back beyond, you know, our own history into indigenous kind of communities, this is how some people around the world still live. Mm-hmm. That older people are really regarded as wise elders and really respected. Yet for our modern society, we tend to isolate older people and make them quite invisible in our society.
Well, it's certainly food for thought, Sue. Thank you very much for being with us. Sue Eggersdorf there, co-founder of Ready Generations. Messages from listeners on this. Anne-Marie says, my mam died just before Christmas after a long Alzheimer's battle. 12 grandchildren, and they dealt with it in very different ways. The younger ones took it in their stride, as granny to them had always been this forgetful but loving person. The older ones knew what they were losing, and they felt the grief of it. It's a hard road. It certainly is, Anne-Marie, and I wish you well getting through it. It's very early days for you. Dan says that you have to watch a movie called A Head Full of Honey. It's about a grandfather with Alzheimer's and his granddaughter. Dan says it's one of the best films ever.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.